welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
My name is Bosov Grobler. In the United States, they call it Bosov Grobler. It's not that. It is Bosov Grobler. I am a partner here at Doxodeo Hatfield. I am a businessman on the continent of Africa. So if this is your first time here, and you're now worried that a businessman that studied law, a lawyer, is now going to preach, I must put your mind at ease. I took Joe through the sermon, so he says it's fine, so you should be okay. It's my privilege to close out a series that the whole Doxodeo family have been going through for the past few weeks. It's called Becoming Love. Now, maybe it's just me, but I am just so thankful that this series is coming to an end. Because it's been tough. It's been so challenging. And in the community groups, it's been immensely, immensely challenging for me. For example, 1 Corinthians 13, what is it known for, that passage in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 13 is love, an ode to love. Joe has gone and spoiled 1 Corinthians 13 in my heart forever. Never, ever, ever again will I read 1 Corinthians 13 as the ode to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not like you. You know, love is like this. This is what it should be like. Because this scripture is actually about spiritual maturity. Who knew? So when a pastor or a dominie or a reverend or a minister ever again, when they preach at a wedding ceremony, if they start with 1 Corinthians 13 as the ode to love, you go, you are mistaken, Mr. Pastor. It is about spiritual maturity. It's about Paul calling the Corinthian church or the church in Corinth towards spiritual maturity, and the acid test for spiritual maturity is love. So when he says love is patient and love is kind, the whole narrative is drawing us into living lives that are spiritually mature. And if we live lives of spiritual maturity, it will be resembled as love in this world. And not necessarily love in the way that Valentine's Day expresses it necessarily. Who had a great Valentine's Day? Nou moet jy pas op, né? Because, or maybe that's an unfair question. Immediately, like people that are still dating, you could see they turn to each other. Was it great? Was it great? Was it great? Yeah, was it great? Yeah, it was very good. Okay, I'm very happy. So it's fitting that we close out our series on Becoming Love on this Valentine's Day weekend. Now, we've been going through a few truths around love. The first truth about love is that God is love. There's a characteristic, one of the characteristics adjacent to being almighty and omnipotent and omniscient. All these big words, he's also love. No, God is love. He is love incarnate. And the way that Joe described it to us, it was the understanding that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three are in one. Now, the only way that three can be in one is if, and he explained it as this cosmic dance, where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in this love triangle dance, deferring, respecting, and loving each other. Imagine you are three in one. The only way that you can show up in the cosmos is if you love each other. God is love. It's not an aspect. It is His nature. Truth one. Truth two. You and I, with no terms and conditions that apply, have been called into that love relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a good one. We've been invited into that relationship, that beautiful, the most amazing reflection of love, love in identity, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You and I, as you are sitting here, as I'm standing here, we have been invited into it. And it's not first past go, or, you know, first you have to get your degree and first you have to pass your first year without flunking any exams. And, you know, there's no study. It's just come. Come and be part of this relationship. How amazing is that? And then it's not just, it's tough for us to get our minds around it. And that's why God goes and He says, God the Father takes the first step. And He says, God is love. And Ulrich took us through that sermon that spoke about God's love for us, the Father's love for us. A love that said, because of sin, there's been distance, but in my love, I create a path so that you can come back to me. God is love. Then Jesus reflects the grace of laying down His life for you and I completely, so that we can be reconciled with the Father. Jesus is grace. And the reason why I've struggled so much with this series is the so what of God is love and God and Jesus is grace. And that is that I have received God's love. But there are many examples where I don't give God's love. Never mind the fact that this sermon series is calling us not only to give what we've received, is for us to become love. That's a big one. And then I have received grace. But there are many, many, many examples, even during this Valentine's season, where I have not been able to give grace. Never mind become grace. So my version of Valentine's gift, I went to Bathroom Bazaar this year. Makes sense, right? You know that a shower head they call a shower rose? So I had to go and buy shower roses for my wife and I. That is an acceptable gift, right? Blader is here. It is an absolutely acceptable gift. We have had the same shower roses for a very long time, and now it's just spurting out water. So I went into a place that I feel completely, completely uncomfortable in. Anything that has got to do with DIY or fixing stuff, my family asked me, please don't do that. Just get somebody to come and phone Andreas, the older brother. He can come and fix it. So all our kids are now out of the house. It's just Blade and I in the house. We are empty nesters. And I go into Karim. And into Karim I go to find the most beautiful, efficient shower rose that I could find for my beloved wife, Blader. And I, you know, it's double shower. Walk in there, nobody helps me. They are paid to help this unwitting person that comes into the space, and they are paid to say, sir, is there anything that I can help you with? Nothing. I wander around there, I look at the wrong things. Oh, this is not a shower head, this is a tub. I need to go somewhere else. And I'm wandering around, and then I see these two ladies. You can see that they are paid to help, but now they sit. So I walk up to them and I say to them, they don't even look up. And now I say, listen, are you here to help or are you here to sit? I felt righteous while I said it. Because in my mind, this rationalization is going, you are paid for client service. Me, I'm the client. You can see that I'm stressed. I'm sweating like all over and you're not helping me. So I felt righteous. So I start with this rationalization and she gets up, this lady gets up, she brushes off my indictment and she goes, yes, sir, how can I help? Okay, so I didn't buy what I had to buy there. I went to bathroom the bazaar. Not because it was bad, just because what I needed was somewhere else. Lebo helped me. My wife loves me. Okay, so now it was a good gift. But even in the most just normal of circumstances in my day-to-day life, what an idiot statement for me to make in Karim. I've been called to be love, to become love, and I make such a statement, and then I feel righteous about it. This has been a massive challenge. And then we go to community group, and I have to profess. I was like, how did it go for you this week in becoming love? Oh, not so good. No, it's not so good. So it's been, I mean, it's tough. Maybe it's not tough for you. It's been tough for me. So luckily, I have the opportunity to now speak to myself this Sunday. Because I have the opportunity to now reflect on the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Because thank God that He has given us the Holy Spirit to help us along this process of becoming love. And maybe some point in my life I'll be able to walk into Karim and be love to people that might need it, and I would never have even known that they need it. But in order for us to embark on that journey where the Holy Spirit helps us in that process, we have to shake off any guilt or shame and say, you know, this sermon is not for me because I suckle, I struggle. I have not been able to become it. Look, I'm 52 years old, 2 months and 8 days today. I'm struggling. Louis there, I mean, you've got it right. Or are you still struggling? Still struggling. So it's all a process, and the Holy Spirit is one that walks with us in this process, but not in accordance with our terms, in accordance with His terms, as described in Scripture. So, truth one in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God is love. We've been made in His image, so we are love. So when we engage in the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can only ever embark on a process with us of becoming who we are, love. He's not going to embark on a process where you become who you are not. So He is going to take away things, maybe things of your understanding, maybe things of your past, maybe things of your wants and your needs, and He's going to take that away because His job is to help us transform into who we are, which is we are love because we made in the image of God who is love. And then the third truth there is that it's going to take time. So these guys in front, you've got time. Because the Holy Spirit walks with us where we need it most. So the scripture that we're going to anchor this discussion in, this last discussion in this series, is 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, Amal Yusor in Doxideo Hatfield, we all with unveiled face. In other words, there's something about our seeing our world around us, seeing ourselves, seeing the situation in which we live that needs to be unveiled by the Holy Spirit. So, and we all with unveiled face, maybe what I know to be true or understand to be true around me or the people around me might not be as true as I think. And maybe there's a deep work of the Holy Spirit that's required in order to peel away my understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. With unveiled face, continually process, seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, or progressively being transformed into His image
from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Some of the commentators describe or explain this scripture in the following way. They say they describe this process of transformation into becoming who we are, becoming love, becoming who we see in Jesus as follows. An unveiled, open gaze. As Christians, we are not kept at a distance. We behold God's glory mirrored in Christ. Not yet the final face-to-face, but genuinely revealed. And this revelation power of the Holy Spirit lights up the believer so that we begin to reflect what we are seeing. You and I have been called into a process not only to receive love and give love, receive grace and give grace. We have been called into spiritual maturity where we become love. Lord, this world around us, this city, this country, this continent, this world needs love. Love that acts beyond ourselves. Love that brings God the Father's view of this world into reality in a day-to-day life. Whether you step into university, whether you step into a marriage that is struggling, whether you step into a hospital because your health is failing, whether your business is going down. This world needs love. And love is available, that type of love that will change this world into having God's kingdom come to earth is a love that is God. And this is the process that God is inviting us into. If we will allow the deep work of the Holy Spirit, we will become love. And boy, this world needs love. This world needs plans. This world needs like solutions, but plans and solutions that are birthed from love. Not my idea of the truth. Lord, please may the understanding of our we make sense of this world be unveiled by your Spirit so that creative, amazing, strategic plans can come to the fore for this world that could solve, truly solve, sustainably solve the issues of this world in love. Is that a worthwhile process to go into? You seem a bit worried. This seems a bit deep. Are you good? Okay, so there's a good thumbs up here. Everybody good for us to take this step? Good. So, in order to allow the Holy Spirit, it's deep work. It's not shallow. It is deep work. We need to understand two things. One is the context in which this process will play out, and two is the nature of this process. Now, the context is one of, for most of us, this is where we live, South Africa. So this context, there's crazy things that we say we love in this place. So when we go into like a deep work of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that we might have a bit of a shallow understanding of what love means. Can I give you an example on the screen? Okay, that's an example. There are people in this country that say they love that thing. What is that? That's a mopani worm. Now this is, I just want to make this point. This is the fourth truth. Not everything that you can braai, you should eat. There is a point where you stop, in my humble opinion. So, but there are people that say, listen, this is good stuff. You know, I love mopani worms. I've had them. It's like a scratchy feeling when it goes down. It's like a very, maybe I should stop. Sorry. And then when it comes up, no, let's stop. Okay, the next one. Okay, there are people on the earth that just said there's something that is like raw meat. Never. It's like this pungent smell. You smell it everywhere in the house. I don't want it. Other people love it. They absolutely love it. Then with some of the students here, not yet. Okay, so what is that? That's walkie-talkies. It's like chicken feet. Now, the thing I love about chicken feet that you don't get in Biltong, it comes with its own toothpick. Ne?
Dit is my beste grappie vir die dag. So if you don't think that's funny, we're going to struggle for the rest of the day. Okay, but it's strange, right? Then for the students, that thing, Zamalek, it's like they say they love it. And then after two or three, they love everybody and everything around them. And then the other people that drink this thing, this Branas and Coke, then after four, you love nothing. So, I mean, it's like a confusing place. So now I've taken a shot at every culture in this room. Let me take a shot at my own. How can people say that they love two-tone? I don't understand. Two-tone khakis, two-tone. Segregated now. Okay, two-tone. Khaki boer, khaki owner. And then, what is worse, I don't have the picture of the guy on the left. He's got calves like mine. Non-existent. And still he wears the khakis, the short ones. So, I mean, even my tribe, we struggle sometimes with what we love. But in South Africa, the context in which we live and love, there's other things that confuse me. And I want to show you just a few numbers on the screen. So, first number. What does this number represent, percentage? It's actually 85.3, but the 0.3 made it a bit full on the screen. It is the percentage of people in South Africa that profess to be Christian. 85.3%. Okay, I want to live in such a country. Next slide, please. 46, what is that? 46%. Youth unemployment. So people in the age category of 18 to 35 that don't have, yes, 35 is still youth, they don't have jobs. 46%. Next one, 63%. The number of people today that will be murdered in South Africa. One day. Next one. 95, 98. The number of people that will be the subject of gender-based violence in South Africa today. One day. Okay, so the context in which we are called to become love is an overwhelmingly confusing context. I mean, I look at these stats and I just say, okay, how can I even try to rock up as love? Why do I even embark on this process if this is how big the problem is in South Africa? Let me tell you, if we don't spiritually mature as 85.3% of Christians in this country, nothing will change, because it's only activities, strategies, businesses, ministries, church environments that act in love, mature love, that this place will become a place of the future of my children and my grandchildren and their grandchildren, living and basking in the glory of what God has for this place. We can look at it and we can say, Lord, 98 women and children today, their lives will change forever. And the only thing that could help us do the smallest iota that into eternity will reverberate and will change this continent forever is if we take the deep work of the Holy Spirit and not only receive and give, but to become love. So, I'm going to give you another number on the screen that helps us as to the how. We need to understand the context that we live in, and we need to understand that, man, I'm overwhelmed by this place. I'm confused by this place. God's not. God is calling me into a 3:16 life. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. There's something that God did for you, done, dusted, a completed work. You don't have to do anything to get it. You just have to say, Lord, I accept it. And then 1 John 3:16. This is how he came to know love. He laid his life down, John 3:16. He laid his life down for us. How much more should we not lay our lives down for our brothers and our sisters? You see, the nature of this process, if we allow the Holy Spirit in the deep work that is necessary for us to become love in such a practical, visceral way that will change this world that we live in and change those stats forever, those and others, is an inward process. John 3:16. We need to really deeply understand what John 3:16 means, not for the people in this room, for me, for you. John 3:16 has got a meaning, a love meaning for you, the way that God sees you, the reason why he stepped out of heaven, stepped out of eternity into the world. Wasn't because he had nothing else to do. It's because of his love for you. He knew you by name as he stepped out of heaven. He knew you by name. He knew that you would sit here today in this room in Pretoria. He knew you by name. John 3:16 is not for all and sundry. It is for you. But there is a veil many times that needs to be torn from our eyes because life happened to us. And part of the inward process of the Holy Spirit to help us to become love is to just realize how loved we are. John 3:16. And once we understand this, and as we start learning this, our eyes will move and say, if this is true, then everybody needs to know. If this is true, then I won't spend my time every day on Netflix and television and social media and so on. I will say, Lord, if this is true, if this is how you love me, if this is truly what you think of me, Lord, people need to know about you. Lord, I want to then give my life in service of you. Amen. Yes, Lord, may that be just so true for all of us. So, this process inwardly and outwardly. This discussion has been quite abstract. Okay, but how? Okay, who? Show me how. And the Lord shows us how. But the only way that I could find to be as practical as possible is to be as vulnerable as possible without exposing me or my family to a bad extent. What I want to do now is I want to share with you just some parts of this inward process and the resulting outward process that the Lord has been taking me through as an individual, my family through. It's a deep work. And the reason why I need to go deep is because the Lord today wants to go deep with you. There ain't no time left for us to scratch at the surface and say, ah, look at this place. Look at this country. It's broken. There's nothing that I can do. Love is the answer. God is the answer. 85.3% of people in this country understand it. But 85.3% of people, many of them have been receiving and maybe trying to give, but they have been not receiving and becoming, because becoming will give you a mature understanding of your circumstances, of yourself, and the world will change because you will rock up in that world with a godly answer for things that are broken in this world. This is a worthwhile endeavor, the deep work. So, the first inward process that I want to share with you is the process where at the ripe old age of 48, I was like in my groove. I was living in God's purpose for my life. I was living in His calling for my life. And everything made sense in my world. So I was a financier. I had built for 25 years investment banking businesses on the continent. I had built investment management businesses with amazing teams that the Lord has given around me. Built all of these things. I was working in the largest financier on the continent of Africa. I was at the top echelons as an executive director of this entity. It was within my calling. I knew that this is what God had called me to. Calling in my vocabulary has got three components. It fit my identity, who God made me to be. God is Jehovah Elohim, Creator God. He put in me a creativity that can build businesses. Not because I'm great, because He's great and I serve Him. And I align my skills to Him to make this continent a better place. Jehovah Elohim. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider God. So He positioned me in a space where I can allocate financial resources, His resources, in a godly way. I was in my identity. I was in my purpose. I understood what was broken in the world. And I aligned my job, my everyday, the 12 hours, 14 hours that I worked, I aligned it to fix what is broken in this world, purpose. And God revealed a preferred future for me where if I would align, if I would rock up in that place in South Africa, in Africa, in that way, within my calling, within my identity, within my purpose, the preferred future for this place would be that poverty in this world, in this continent, will be done into eternity. Not my lifetime, maybe, not in the next three lifetimes, but it will be killed. Okay. So I'm in the zone. I'm in God's zone. And then corporate politics come. So at the time I thought maybe the Lord wasn't looking very carefully at what was going on. He had set up everything, and maybe you feel like it. I'm in a space where I don't know whether the Lord is really focusing on me right now. Maybe, you know, Trump and Davos and, you know, things are happening and he's so busy with bigger things, he's not focusing on me. That's what I felt like. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, well, you know, you don't understand my health, my finances, my family, my parents, my children. There's things that I don't think God is really, really focusing on what we're going through at the moment. And I just said, Lord, I don't understand what this is doing, what is happening here. And then what happened was there was a transition where the Lord said, okay, so this, I need to speak with you very clearly about what needs to happen here. And we went on holiday, and in holiday December, the Lord spoke with Blade and I, and He said, you need to move out of this place that you were in. Now, everything made sense in this place. And now the Lord says, I'm pulling you out. Okay, now nothing makes sense anymore. And maybe you're in that place. I was fine. Now the doctor gave me a particular outcome. Okay, now nothing makes sense anymore. Where is God? Does He really care for me? My business was fine. Now my business is not fine anymore. I thought I was going to study this, but now I couldn't get into university to study what I was. So nothing makes sense anymore. But obediently stepping after God's heart, He then said, listen, I want you to step out. I want to show you something new. So on the 12th of January, I walked into the office after 22 years in this place and I resigned. Okay. And then I was in the wilderness. Confused, anxious, frustrated. My body was struggling. I was, a lot of old man things that I can rattle off happened in my body. And then one day I was driving in the bush and I just went to the only one that could help me make sense of the world that I was in. And the way that the Holy Spirit, through His deep work in the African bush, as I was driving, He started speaking to me about what the way that He loves me and the way that He sees me. And I believe that God wants to come and do that through His Holy Spirit, through the fellowship, through an intimate relationship with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He wants to come and speak into your heart today. And He doesn't necessarily will come with solutions or you know, great fanfare. He will come and He will put perspective into your situation because He will show you what John 3:16 love looks like for you. But that means that He's going to have to take some understanding that you might have at this point in time. And it's not because we're stupid or we don't want to understand. It is how we make sense of this place, how we make sense of this pain, how we make sense of the uncertainty. And the way that the Lord did it for me was, I was driving and He came and He said, Bosov, you are a successful Afrikaans man. And I thought, okay, so either this is the most profound thing that the Lord has ever said to me, or my relationship with God has deteriorated to such extent that I now only hear like the most obvious things. Yes, I'm a man. Yes, I'm Afrikaans. Yes, my name is Bosov. So I switched off the car and I said, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Because there's something that you see in my situation. There's something that you see in my pain. There's something that you're seeing in my uncertainty that I am not seeing. And the Holy Spirit just started revealing and taking like these things off my eyes. And he said, Bosov, I called you by name. I called you by the name Bosov. The place that you were in was where I wanted you. But I am calling you higher. I haven't forgotten you. I made you. How can I forget? How can you say that I'm not focusing on you? The fact that I have something different for you doesn't mean that I don't love you. The fact that a bad thing happened to you doesn't mean that I don't love you. It means that there's a broken world in which you live. But I will love you into wholeness. I will love you into health. I will love you into love. And then He said, you are successful. And I'm like, no, I lost this fight. You know, this politicking that went on, no, I'm not successful. And the Holy Spirit just came and he just showed me how this building and, you know, doing stuff for God and building these businesses and building teams and going through the turmoil, He showed me how there was a veil of what I thought success looked like and what I thought my self-worth looked like that started impacting the way that I see this world. And I just felt Him say, you were building a business, but I was building a man. And if you're sitting here and you say, my life doesn't make sense, my life does not make sense anymore, the Lord wants to come and speak into your life. And if you allow the deep work of the Holy Spirit, the world will fall into place. Afrikaans, yes, I'm Afrikaans. My accent in English and Xhosa and everything, just it's Afrikaans. But the Holy Spirit came and He said, the way that I want to use you on this continent is I want to use your Afrikaans-ness. And I said, no, Lord. You know, many times, Lord, I'm ashamed of what my tribe did in this country. I don't think my tribe has got a right to step into this country. I feel bad about my tribe. And the Lord came and He said, do you know how I feel about your tribe? And I never even asked God. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, Lord, you don't know my family. You don't know my tribe. You don't know where I come from. Nothing good comes from where I come from. And the Lord wants to ask you this question. Have you asked me what I think about your family, about the circumstances that you grew up in, your tribe, the place that you come in? And the Lord showed me a Hakensteekboom. It's an umbrella thorn tree. Pirnief is a guy that painted amazing pictures from it. And he said, that's my heart. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. And he just kept on peeling these veils away. And he just said, that tree, that wood, was the actual wood that was used by the Israelites exclusively to build the tabernacle of God, the presence of God. My heart for your tribe is that they will be a godly presence in this country and on this continent, and that their compassionate presence will be part of breaking the chains of poverty in this world. You are exactly from the right tribe. Can you see how the Lord peels away at things that we say to ourselves and make sense of, and then think that the Lord is not focusing? He's focusing so deeply on you at this moment in time. He's focusing so deeply on your life and how he loves you. There are people here, the last one that he told me is, you're a man. And I felt half the man that I used to be. And the Lord said, I want to come and invite you into a time of restoration, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. There are men that are sitting here that are burned out on effort. You feel that it's all about you. It's all about how you change the world to make it safer and better and more secure and more, and just more for the people around you. And that burden of self-reliance will kill you. If you're sitting here as a husband, as a father, as a young man that can't even think about what I need to do in this world going forward, because the burden is too heavy, the burden of self-reliance will kill you. But carrying the yoke, the light yoke of a loving father that shows you exactly who you are, where he's positioned you, and what he wants from you. If the men in this country, the Christian men in this country, show up in this place, gender-based violence will be gone. I wonder what God has for you today. I wonder what God wants to come and say over your life that you might not believe, because you've tried to make sense of this world and there are like these scales over your spiritual eyes, and the Spirit, the loving fellowship of the Spirit, is he wants to come and peel it away and show you how deeply he loves you. Because then we will be able to take a transition into saying, Lord, if this is true, you've got all of me. If this is true, Lord, you have everything of me. And the outward process of what you do, what you study, how you speak to your wife, how you speak to your mother, how you speak to your father, how you speak to your children, how you carry this world as a steward, as opposed to, you know, having to do everything yourself, will change. It is my absolute prayer that you will allow the deep work of the Holy Spirit to show you how he loves you and what he thinks of you. Because the outward transformation will be the direct result. It has been for me. And we're going to create that space for you now at this very moment. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been speaking about just things that you thought to be true, and now you're thinking, I don't know so much. Maybe I've been missing something. Again, this is not judgment. This is not shame. This is not guilt. This is love. We want to create a space where love through the Holy Spirit comes and breaks through your circumstances today. In the first service, there were people that were, you know, struggling with businesses. There were people that were struggling with family. There were people that life just didn't make sense anymore. And the Holy Spirit wants to come tenderly and minister to you right now. So we're going to create a few minutes where you can close your eyes. And you can just lean into the Holy Spirit. lean into. You can literally, if you're tired, just collapse into the arms of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to come and speak truth to you on the things that make sense or not. And then what I want to do is I also want to ask you, I want to encourage you, let us be church today. Because I've been in places in my life where I was just so confused and so hurting, I could not for the life of me hear the voice of God. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for our children. Thank God for friends. Thank God for this church. That at those times where I desperately said, Lord, just speak to me, but the clamor in my head, I couldn't. I want to invite you to be church today. And if you are sensing, experiencing something in your spirit that you want to share with somebody else, do that. It is their responsibility to go and test it with God. So you're not going to put them, you know, if I get it wrong, there's going to be a wrecking. You just be obedient to what you hear in their heart. It is our responsibility, what people share with us, to test that with God and test it in our circumstances. Can we do those two things? Spend time, hear from God. And if you are hearing for somebody else, to stand up and to go to that person and share the brief word so that they can take a step forward in becoming love. Amen.